Imagine this. You're in the middle of a really important conversation in Microsoft Teams. You spend several minutes typing up a response that will finally make your point. But the moment you hit enter, the message disappears. And it turns out, so did everyone else's responses. Then you find out that every single conversation in Microsoft 365 is gone. That's what happened to 145,000 KPMG employees right in the middle of the pandemic. The Microsoft 365 admin was trying to delete a single user's chats when they actually deleted the entire company's data instead. In today's episode, we'll dive right into this jaw-dropping data disaster and see how it serves as a powerful reminder of the importance of backing up your cloud and SaaS environments. We'll be discussing how Microsoft retention policies are not backups. This story proved my point. This episode is the latest in a series of cloud disasters, companies that lost everything because they misunderstood how backups work in the cloud. We've already covered some major cloud vendors like AWS, Google, and OVH. Now it's Microsoft's turn. If you hear this story and still think you don't need to back up Microsoft 365, I just don't know what to say. Hi, I'm W. Curtis Preston, aka Mr. Backup. 30 years ago, my employer lost their purchasing database when it turned out my backups were broken. I vowed that would never happen to me again, and now I try to do the same for those who read my books and listen to my podcast. I want to turn you, the unappreciated backup admin, into a cyber recovery hero. This is the Backup Wrap-Up. Welcome to the show. I'm your host, W. Curtis Preston, a.k.a. Mr. Backup. And with me, I have what I hope to be my personal non-advisor on taxes.
Is it that time of year, Curtis?
It's that time of year. Although I have to say, this will be a complicated year, right? Due to a variety of things, right? The interesting year of employment and non-employment and contractor work that I did last year. So let me get, are your taxes like already done?
No comment.
Okay. You just seem so put together with this whole tax thing that I figured that by now you'd be done already.
So I was just waiting for the last of the paperwork, but I am one of those crazy people who sort of pre-plan everything. So
yeah, you got spreadsheets and stuff.
Yeah, so usually I know more or less where I'll land based on pay stubs, and it's just the final bits of like interest and dividends and other things like that.
You probably wouldn't be sleeping at night if you're in my situation right now.
Well,
I'm going in blind.
Well, yeah, I don't know how you do that. I should say that 99.99999% of the people are like you.
Yeah. I think you're right.
Right. Yeah.
In fact, I know based on my work with Intuit back 25 years ago that like they were saying, if I recall correctly, it was like something like 90% of their business on TurboTax occurs within like the last 3 days before April 15th.
Yeah. Doesn't surprise me. One challenge too is there's a lot of fraud. So someone takes your social security number, files a fake tax return, gets the refund.
That is really hard to recover from. Yeah. You know what else is really hard to recover from?
What?
Deleted data in a SaaS provider that you don't have a backup of. See that segue? Yeah. You're proud of that segue?
That's look pretty at that. Good.
So this will be a part of our continued series on why you should back up the cloud. And, you know, there's a bunch of different parts of the cloud. Today, we're going to be talking about a SaaS provider, possibly one of the biggest SaaS providers.
I think they're one of the most valuable companies in the world right now.
So that would be Microsoft. And I remember in the, you know, my days at Druva, this was what we saw as like one of the biggest greenfield environments because hardly anybody backed up Microsoft 365.
But you don't need to back up Microsoft 365, Curtis.
Right, right.
As you reach over and strangle me through the video.
Yeah. And the thing was, it was super difficult for me as a person who has dedicated their career to backups. I really don't understand the people that have migrated to a SaaS provider, have migrated any portion of their IT infrastructure to some type of other provider of any kind, whether it's a IaaS, PaaS, SaaS, whatever, and didn't check this box, right? Didn't ask, how does backup and recovery work there? Right. What's the thing that didn't look in the service agreement, didn't do any testing of any backup. Let's delete something and then restore it. And right.
See what happened?
I've known for a long time that people hate backup, right? Nobody wants to do backup.
I'm sorry,
right?
Curtis, nobody, Mr. Backup.
Yeah. Nobody wants to be the backup person. That's how I got my job. How I got my first job was that, Ron Rodriguez didn't want to be the backup guy anymore. And so that's how I got my job. Right. And that's how many of our listeners got their jobs. And it's how much of the cloud migration has happened, right?
Yeah.
It's people move to something like Microsoft 365. And I do know for a fact that some TAMs, technical account managers, at Microsoft 365 have uttered words to the effect that they don't have to worry about backup. And that's one of the reasons that they should migrate to 365.
But
they're wrong.
Yeah.
They don't do it in writing.
But this isn't unique to Microsoft 365, a SaaS or a PaaS. Because do you remember back in the day with virtual machines, right, and VMware, right, they had the same message as well, right? And it wasn't until people were like, hey, I'm now using this for production workloads and I really should care about how I back it up. And then that spurned sort of, okay, Veeam came along with other backup vendors, right? Figuring out how to optimize it and make it better. But the initial ones, you never had backups.
Yeah, backup never leads the charge in anything.
Yeah.
Right. But it's still depressing to me sometimes, right? And in this case, there are people, I can think of one particular person, I won't mention him by name, but I can think of one particular person that is a fellow book author that, just really doesn't seem to see the need to backup 365. Even in his blog post about the incident that we're going to talk about today, he said, some people will probably tell you that this is an example of why you need to backup Microsoft 365. But I want to tell you that even if you had backups, that wouldn't have helped in this case. And he's right, but doesn't change the point.
Yeah.
So enough with the preamble. What are we talking about here? What happened back in August of 2020? What happened?
Isn't that right around the pandemic, Curtis? Weren't we all locked down, not going anywhere?
While we were all locked down.
Yeah. So
speaking of little companies.
Yeah. So this was a large, very, very, very large company called KPMG, which is a consulting / auditing firm. They do both.
Right.
And they decided one day, hey, I'm going to go change a retention policy for my Microsoft Teams for a particular user.
Right.
And they went and made that change. And apparently, they didn't realize it affected all users. And by the way, that small company you're talking about, it's like 145,000 people.
Yeah, 145,000 right? people.
And so,
go ahead.
So it impacted the retention for those 145,000 people. And so all these folks who are basically auditing companies and have a bunch of sensitive chat messages and other things. Yeah, all those messages went bye-bye.
Yeah, just poof.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that they reached out. I mean, we don't, it's not in the story, but I am absolutely sure that they reached out to Microsoft.
Oh, yeah.
Said, is there anything you can do? And the answer is no.
Yeah.
Because what you experienced is a feature,
yeah,
not a bug.
Yeah.
And the go ahead.
No, go finish.
The true irony of this is that the feature that they were using that resulted in the deletion of data is the feature that people, including the guy to which I was referring, they pointed this feature as a substitute for backup, that you should use this, that if you properly use this feature, you wouldn't need backup. But apparently, if you improperly use the feature, you do need
backup. Yeah. So maybe, Curtis, why don't you talk a little bit about the feature itself and what it does?
Yeah. So the feature that we're talking about is retention policies, and they are complicated. The last time I checked, if you went and looked at the just this feature in the documentation, there's 25 pages of documentation on this one feature, that Microsoft 365 has. And basically what it's designed to do is to, in general, the idea is to make sure that things that should be around are around, and subsequently things that shouldn't stay around don't. So a typical retention policy might be 90 days. Mm-hmm. We set a retention policy on email 90 days, which means that after 90 days, a sent email, a received email of any kind, again, based on the policy, gets deleted.
Yeah.
Right? You could also set it to be a year.
Yeah.
You could set it to be 7 years.
But
whatever, you can set different retention policies for email, for SharePoint, for OneDrive. You can set all these different policies. You can also set a single policy. Everything in Microsoft 365 is kept for N days and no longer, right?
Yeah.
You can set it at a group level. You can set it at an individual level. And the reason why, and it has an optional, and what I'm going to call, and I really mean it feature, which is a checkbox that says, once you set it,
go back in time,
you can't change your mind.
Oh,
so once you say everything in this environment should be kept for a year, you can't then 60 days later change your mind. Say, I'm sorry. I meant something way less than a year. Sorry. You've turned it on for a year, right?
So that means any data created stays for that year.
Right.
So if I created new data after changing it to 60 days, new data would stay for 60 days. Old data would stay for 1 year.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so what can happen if you use this policy is, so, and the reason why I say this is those that are proponents of using retention policies instead of backup, they basically say, look, Microsoft is really resilient. They've got delayed copies and all this kind of stuff in there. And so really, like Microsoft will protect the Microsoft environment, mm-hmm, right? And that if they have to recover the Microsoft environment, you will get recovered as a consequence of that. So you don't, these are the proponents,
yeah,
of this. Not, this is not me. This is, you know,
other folks,
anti-me.
Yeah.
They'll say, you don't have to worry about that. What you need to worry about is a ransomware attack or a massive accidental deletion like what happened at KPMG, right?
Yeah.
And so you can say, everything gets kept for X amount of days, and you can check the box that says, and I can't change my mind.
Yeah.
And then after, 30, 60, 90 days, when you find out what that does to your storage, and you're like, holy cow, I didn't realize this was going to do this to my storage and subsequently my bill.
Yeah.
you can't change your mind.
Yeah.
I mean, you can change your mind, but you can't change your mind.
It's not retroactive. Yeah.
It's not retroactive, right?
Yeah.
You told it, you know, that you wanted to keep it and you wanted to do the, you know, the compliance feature.
Since you just mentioned compliance. So retention though, right? It's typically associated with a compliance policy, right? And even if the user goes and deletes that email before the retention period is up, because it's sort of intended for compliance, that email is still kept around until the retention policy expires.
Right. Yeah. When I delete an email, all it does is set the don't show it to Curtis flag.
Yeah.
It's still there.
Yeah.
Right. And the other thing is that it's designed, you said it's designed for compliance. It's designed, it's the complete opposite of backup.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, we talk a lot about backup versus archive.
Yes.
This is much more about archive and retrieval and e-discovery than it is about recovering Curtis's email box because...
To a known point in time.
At a point in time.
Yeah.
What it can do is you can go then do an e-discovery case. First off, you need different permissions. It's different than like the default system admin permissions. You need separate permissions to do this. And then you can go in and say, please extract all of the email that Curtis has ever received or received in this time period. And then they can throw that in your inbox all in one big pile, not in the folders or whatever that you had it before. And by the way, not just email, but the same is true in SharePoint or whatever. It's just a big pile of stuff. And then they put it back and then you got to go figure out what you don't need.
Yeah. Right? And usually you use retention policies because keeping data around is actually sometimes a bad idea.
Right. This is a legal issue, right? Yeah. And so you say, look, we're not going to keep data longer than a year, period. You know, I know that when I worked at Druva, they had implemented a data retention policy on Slack, for example, right? You know, they only would allow Slack messages for, I think it was like 90 days, actually. Yeah. So a couple of things about retention policies. One is it's not good at restore. Any more than a backup tool is good at e-discovery. This is an e-discovery tool that's not good at backup. It's not good at restore. And so if you got a large ransomware attack, it wouldn't be good at that, right? The other thing is that it can result in significant increases in your cost, right, and your storage, as opposed to just using a backup tool, which would also have an increase in cost, but a different increase in cost, right? And a more predictable increase in cost. And to the point of this story, it can sometimes really screw you up.
So, if you don't understand and aren't careful, then
So as I understand it, so the way that they would have done this, and this, by the way, this is inference, not information. Mm-hmm. When you've got 145,000 people and you have one person whose private chats you want to delete, and you've got a retention policy that says for 145,000 people, we keep, you know, private chats for 6 months, whatever the number is, right? 90 days. You can't delete those private chats as long as that person is in
that policy.
So you have to create a different policy that says private chats get kept for one day, and then you move that user into that policy.
Yep.
Apparently they did the wrong thing.
They just edited the policy.
They edited the policy and then poof. Instantly. And again, they didn't have the flag.
Yeah.
See, if they had the flag turned on, and this
their old data would have been fine.
Yeah, the old data would have been fine. They wouldn't have been able to mess it up like this. So one message could be, if you're going to use retention policies, you better turn on that flag because they are all you have.
Well, it wouldn't save you though from new messages created.
At least you wouldn't have deleted 6 months.
I think
it would have figured it out in about 5 minutes, you know?
But would you though? Because now anything new that you type would be following that new policy, and maybe you don't realize it.
Yeah, I just think it would be less of a tragedy than, right? And I do think it's important to say that there are no APIs for restoring Teams messages.
Yeah.
There are APIs and there are ways to get these messages. They are, and some of them are frankly very kludgy. I remember participating in some of these conversations, you know, when I was at Druva. Getting some of this data is very kludgy because it wasn't really designed to be
that way.
Gotten.
Yeah.
Right. But if you had done, if they had done that, they wouldn't have been able to restore the team's messages, but
they would have had it at least.
They would have at least had it. Yeah. And if there was anything important in there, which there shouldn't be, there shouldn't be important stuff in private messages. But remember, we live in a world where people use their recycle bin for storage. Yeah. Right. Right. You've seen that, right?
Yep.
You're like, hey, your hard drive is filled, and you click the recycle bin. Like, what are you doing? You deleted my storage area.
Or /temp.
Yeah, that actually was the last thing that happened to me at the bank.
Yep.
Was deleting. I rebooted a server.
Yep.
It was somebody rebooted a server. And it was HP, where HP /TMP was in RAM. And we found that a whole bunch of developers had stored their code truth there. And they were like, this is really important. I'm like, then you shouldn't have put it in temp. And they were very angry because we didn't back up temp.
Yep.
Because it's
temp.
Temp. And we lost months of development work. Yeah, so we live in that kind of world, right? And so people do sometimes put important stuff in there. And anything that was important that were in messages, which shouldn't have been, but anything that was there would have been instantly deleted.
Yeah.
Sort of like opening the door when you're out to space.
Yeah. Don't do it.
Don't do it.
So let's go back to this, right? So they lost a bunch of messages because someone accidentally set the retention policy. What should they have done? What could they have done to make this less painful?
Well, I'd say a couple of things. One, the first and most obvious to me was if they had a backup, then this would have been less painful, right? They would have been able to at least retrieve, you know, important data. And by the way, not all products at Backup 365 are able to get anything out of Teams, right? Teams messages. Some have to different degree, different levels of success, right? But they would have had the possibility of getting that data back.
Yeah.
And number two is it is a little surprising that an admin would do something of that level with a mouse, right?
Without any controls or any checks or anything else like that.
Yeah.
Or having someone else at least approve or look over, hey, are you doing the right thing?
Yeah, you would think that something of that level, you know, I guess he wasn't thinking, or she wasn't thinking, that they were just thinking one person.
Yeah.
It's just one guy. Yeah. I'm just doing one guy.
But that's where process becomes so critical, right? And documenting process and...
Yeah. Yeah. So they could have, they also could, had they enabled the retention lock, that's what it's called, the retention lock feature, they would have at least kept the data from before. And they would have minimized the pain if they turned on the retention lock feature. But I'm not a big fan of the retention lock feature because of its potential significant increase in storage cost.
And especially, it's so hard to predict how much space you have or would be consuming before you enable that feature. Like any sort of capacity planning or sizing calculators I've seen, even for general storage, they're not accurate because your workload is going to change and it's going to depend on your environment and how people use the tools. And so it's just a best guess. And until you actually turn it on, start using it, you're never going to know.
Yeah, I would think that if you're going to use the retention policies instead of backup, right? Which you shouldn't do. But if you did, you should turn it on for, let's say, 3 months and see what it does to your storage, and then make a decision at that point as to whether or not you want to essentially make this permanent.
Yeah.
And then when you see what it does to your storage, then maybe have a conversation with a backup vendor and say, hey, can you do this with less of an impact to my environment? Right. Now some people, so I read, with great delight, I read the comments in Reddit. There's a Reddit thread about this, and there's also a comment thread from the Register article. It's one thing I love about the Register is that they have comments, and
we'll put people notes. Get in.
Yeah, what's that?
We'll put the links in the show notes.
Yeah, links to those. Yeah, of course, you got the standard stupid cloud. You know, it's where you want to put. You know, I'm like, dude, this could have been Exchange.
Yeah,
right.
Same issue.
This could have been an Exchange environment, right? And then the other, of course, is, well, why didn't they go to their backup? Like, people just completely ignorant that, that's the proper word. People like, they're like, oh, that's pejorative. It's the proper word. They don't know that Microsoft 365 doesn't have backup. If you're not providing it, it doesn't have it.
Given how big KPMG is and what sort of things that they provide to their clients, that's a little shocking if they didn't know that there's no backups. I'm sorry. That's just bonkers.
It's bonkers, but it's a bonkers that I run into all the time.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
So I know that we're looking at this as people lost a bunch of data and people lost their chats, right? It was probably a lot of sensitive information or important information was lost. I was just going in my head about that must be amazing because it's like you hit a reset. You don't have to worry about deleting conversations or anything else, right? It's like clean slate. It's like you start a new job somewhere. It's like no previous chat messages, no baggage, no nothing that you have to worry about.
Yeah. Well, the other thing when I think about this, again, when I talk about this other person, you know, they're like, well, it was just private messages. You shouldn't have been putting anything of value in private messages.
I do that all the time.
People do it all the time, right? But they're right. They're right. You shouldn't do right. But this could have just as easily been email.
Yeah. Or right? SharePoint.
Or SharePoint, right? Yeah. So retention policies are global if you want them to be, right? You can make them as granular as you want. Retention policy for one person, which is what they were trying to do.
Yeah.
They could have just as easily deleted all email in the environment and they would have had no backup. Yep. They would have had no recourse because the whole point of retention policies, by the way, and this is maybe something I should have mentioned before. The point of them is that if you say don't keep it longer than X, it gets rid of everything.
Yeah.
It keeps it longer than, you know, if you set it to 90 days, it deals with the recycle bin, right? But wherever that entity is, that record, that email,
once it hits 90 days, it's boom, gone.
It's gone.
Yeah.
And in this case, they set 90 to 1 or 0. And that means that there was no recycle bin for them to go get this out of. And that means if they did the same thing with email, they would have wiped out the entire organization's entire email infrastructure.
Or if they did that with OneDrive, then all the documents are gone, right? So here's my question, though, is assuming that they wanted to, because given that they wanted to set this user's retention policy to 0, that pretty much means they want all the data gone.
Right.
Why didn't they just delete the user?
Because the data would have stayed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, again, that's the whole point of retention policies. Right. Yeah. And I don't know, you know, I mean we can theorize as to what did this user say in their private messages that they really wanted gone. we can theorize. By the way, there are theories. I should just mention them as long as we're talking about. When you look at the thread, there were pending legal matters where these private messages perhaps
may have
could have been helpful, but now they're not available. And this story would at least be a legally defensible reason why it deleted. Our admin screwed up. This wasn't spoilage. This wasn't purposeful deletion because of a lawsuit. But it also violates, if they had a lawsuit that included this data, it could potentially create an adverse inference thing. And I'll just explain that for those that don't. Basically, if you're being sued or being prosecuted for something, if the judge believes that you have either destroyed evidence or have behaved poorly, basically the judge can infer from that behavior something adverse to your case. And they can literally, like in the case of a jury, they can literally turn to the jury and say, whatever the plaintiff said was in those private messages, just go ahead and assume it was there.
Yeah.
Because why the hell else would they delete the private messages, right? That's what's called an adverse inference instruction. If the judge is by themselves, they can just do it themselves.
And I do wonder, though, if given the fact that they weren't doing backups of this data, I wonder if that does qualify for that, right? Because, you can blame did something by mistake, but there's no reason you shouldn't have backups of business data, you know?
Well, I agree with you there, right? They possibly could say, well, even if we had backups, we wouldn't have had the data or whatever because it's Teams.
But have data. You could extract it as JSON. You'd maybe not restore it directly back into Teams, but at least you have
the data. Yeah, I think that, any adverse inference that could be inferred from their behavior is in the sole discretion of a judge.
Yeah.
Right. And so the judge, different judges are going to have different levels of, do they believe that people are inherently good? Right.
Yeah.
Right. Who knows what it, this was 4 years ago. We could probably find out, but I didn't care that much about the part of it, but I just wanted to say that this was part, people were specifically pointed to specific cases that, this is in the register thread, by the way, for anyone who wants to look it up. This certainly is a nice way to get rid of a bunch of data with a nice story that doesn't sound like you're trying to do it purposefully. I'm not saying that that's what happened, but I'm saying some people. So here's the thing. In summary, Microsoft 365 isn't magic. The cloud isn't magic. You need to back up the cloud somehow, right? Just like, it's not like people thought that, especially certain people thought that I was saying this just because I work for Druva, right? Well, I don't work for Druva anymore. It's not magic, right? It needs some kind of backup. It doesn't have to be a third party. I would prefer it be a third party, right?
But do something.
So you look at Microsoft is starting to talk about snapshots and some sort of recovery. I don't yet know how that will all play out, but in general, and if it meets
the
usual 3-2-1 requirement. Because again, going back to the 3-2-1 rule, having three copies of your data, two of which on different media with different risk profiles, one of which being stored somewhere else. The thing with 365 and a lot of SaaS providers is they don't do the two or the one.
Yeah.
Right? They don't do any of this. They don't have a separate copy of your data. That's basic. Right? It's not magic. The cloud doesn't solve all known problems. In fact, it creates new ones. And I'm pro cloud, right?
How are you feeling, Curtis, about this?
I don't know. I was in a pretty good mood at the beginning of this recording. You need to back up Microsoft 365. That's all I'm saying.
And I think this just goes back to humans make mistakes. You got to back it up.
humans are the number one reason we back up. It's, I mean, that's been more, that is more true today than it ever was. 30 years ago, the number one reason we were doing restores was because somebody deleted a file.
Yeah.
Right? They fat fingered a file. They fat fingered the current version of the file and they accidentally saved it. Right?
Yep.
That was the number one reason we did 30 years ago. And every once in a while, we would also lose a server because remember back then, we didn't even have a RAID.
Yeah.
Right?
Availability so lost and redundancy drive, was very low.
You lost a server, right? You move 30 years up and it's still stupid user errors and ransomware, which is another human caused reason that we do restores.
Because also, isn't most of the ransomware attacks started with phishing more than anything else?
Yes. Yes.
So it's an employee who accidentally clicks on a link that they shouldn't be clicking.
Right. I'll just tell a little story that I saw today on TikTok, and it was a guy who he said you would not believe what my wife's company did today. The video was actually made yesterday, so this would be Valentine's Day. So for those of you that don't know, many companies, if not most companies, do automated phishing tests. Yeah. They send you emails that are essentially phishing emails to see if you will click on them.
Yep.
Or to see if you will notify them. And he said they sent an automated email, or they sent one of these testing emails to everyone in the company that said, you have a Valentine's Day delivery from Edible Flowers at the front desk. And,
click here.
And then there was a click, right? And he said, for like, you know, a few minutes, everyone in that company felt they were loved. and then they found out.
It was just,
that it was
that a is email. Cruel.
Instead of getting love, what they got was yelled at by IT. He said, except my wife, because my wife
is trained.
There's no way I'm spending $200 on some cantaloupe that's made to look like a flower.
That is hilarious.
But yeah, that's just, I mean, the sad thing is, I mean, like I see both sides of this argument, right? Phishing emails, right? They are timed to things, right? A bad guy would do this.
Yep.
They would leverage Valentine's Day. They would leverage Christmas.
Or a big announcement at the company or something like that, right?
Exactly, right? And so on one hand, I totally understand why they did what they did, but it's also messed up. And then this guy that posted it, there were a lot of comments and people were like, yeah, we were told we got a bonus. We were told we got this. We were told we got that. And it was all a phishing test. Oh, that's it. No. It was a phishing test.
Oh, test.
Like, okay. It was the company that did it.
And so instead of getting a bonus or edible flowers, they get to go for a 1-hour training session on phishing.
Yeah. So you need to back up your stuff. You need to back up Microsoft 365 in this case. This is just the best.
Yeah.
This is the current best example we have. If we have a new one, we'll make another episode.
One last thing to add. Realize KPMG is a humongous company and they had issues. If you're a smaller company, right, don't feel bad that you're like, you haven't done anything yet, right? So, but now that you know, go figure out how you are going to back up your SaaS applications. If you're using Microsoft 365, figure out how you are going to back it up so you don't end up like KPMG.
Absolutely. I will poorly quote Maya Angelou. We did what we did when we knew what we knew, and now we know better. We can do better. It's a great quote. Even if I didn't quite get it right, but that's Maya Angelou. May she rest in peace. Well, thanks, Prasanna.
Like
another fun episode.
No, this was fun. This was fun. And I hope you sound a bit more cheerful now towards the end versus about 5 minutes ago. So that's a good sign.
I agree. And thanks for those of you that are listening and look forward to some more You Should Have Backed Up Your Stuff episodes coming here in the coming weeks. And that's a wrap.
The Backup Wrap-Up is written, recorded, and produced by me, W. Curtis Preston.
If you need backup or DR consulting, content generation, or expert witness work, check out backupcentral.com. You can also find links for my O'Reilly books on the same website. Remember, this is an independent podcast, and any opinions that you hear are those of the speaker and not necessarily an employer. Thanks for listening.